Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports.
Let's go!
The Morning Grind, presented by Rosters.com.
Hey!
Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's September. It's the 29th. It's 2016. It's Thursday, which means we shift gears here on the Morning Grind podcast. Talk some football. We'll be back with the last MLB podcast. No, we're going to talk playoffs. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to see if you guys were paying attention. I'm joined by the guy that's going to be joining me throughout the football season. How you doing, Siege?
Been better, been worse. I pulled a Cleveland Browns GM job tonight, and I feel pretty guilty about it.
Yeah, stuff happens. For those of you that don't know, we lost. Unless Jock Peterson hits like two more home runs, and I still think we might lose if that happens. We lost to Team Chalk, Team Donkey. They haven't accepted anything for football. I think they're a little scared. But it is what it is. 7-game series over. And we move on, and we move on to talk some football. And it's a really interesting slate. And if we're even close to as good as we were last week, you know, we're going to win some money, because I hope you guys paid attention last week. Our football takes last week were insane. I just don't know how we follow that up.
That was a really good week. I actually think this week is just as simple. The game plan for me is just the same as last week. It was a great week last week. It feels like exactly the same game plan this week. If we follow the same game plan, try to find the same type of under-owned players, we're going to do just as well.
One thing that I do want to note here on this week is it's a really good cash game slate. Just play the chalk and let people make mistakes. Like, people are going to make so many mistakes this week trying to overthink everything, and it's a really good week just to – you play your Cam Newtons, to play your Antonio Brown, to play your Jordan Howards, you know, just play the chalk.
Yeah, no, I definitely think this is one of those situations where I think that the chalk is – some chalk is fine. I think that there's some contrarian options that should not be contrarian that we'll get to. I just think this is a really – I felt really comfortable making, like, my first set of teams this week as opposed to last week where I kind of was a little up and down later in the week. But this week I feel really good about where I'm at.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. All right, let's talk about Rosters.com. They're a new sponsor of the podcast. They have a ton of good stuff going on over there. We're going to talk about their football program as we go here tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this. Also, make sure you guys head on over to the Roto Grinders forums at the top of the forums. It tells you the details to win the all-expenses-paid trip for two to the Super Bowl that Rosters is giving away here to Roto Grinders. All you have to do is play $100 or more in NFL entries for this week, and you receive a championship entry ticket. If you cash in the kickoff GPP, the $25 GPP, you also receive a championship ticket. Play four entries in there. That's all you got to do. There's your $100. Get your feet wet. Make sure you use promo code Grinders. That way you guys get incentives here at Roto Grinders for Rosters.com for free for a year. And you get some of the best deposit bonuses in the industry when you use the Roto Grinders links. CJ, we're going to talk Rosters, full point PPR site. Little different here. Two running back, two wide receiver, flex, and a kicker.
Hey, you know how I love my kicker. Any says that as the kicker gets my support.
All right. We're going to talk some football. Let's talk it. Thursday night game. Don't want to completely breeze by this game, but there's not a lot that stands out to me. If we're fading Thursday night, I'm okay with it. The only exposure that I would have here probably comes more from Jeremy Hill, and it's really hard not to have some exposure to A.J. Green.
A.J. Green, Bengals defense is probably my favorite plays. I wouldn't mind a contrarian Dolphins defense play. Bengals offense has kind of just been up and down. I wouldn't mind it, but Miami's defense is terrible. That'd be just getting super cute. For me, it's just kind of A.J. Green. Some Jeremy Hill, maybe, but there's so much value at running back, I probably can't realistically even do that. So really just A.J. Green and Bengals for me.
You know, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to crack a beer tomorrow night, and I'm just going to enjoy this game because I'm a Dolphins fan. I want zero exposure to this game.
Yeah. What's the word on Jarvis Landry? Is he expected to play?
It's still questionable. It's tough because it's a short week, and when we see these questionables – it's really tough, but 66 out of 67 snaps last week for him, like, I see it being a tough time. I think him and Parker both play. Parker, I'm a little bit more worried about. It's a hamstring injury.
Yeah, just stay away from this game. Fade. This is a fade Thursday to play Sunday morning. If you're looking to get that Indy Jacksonville exposure, you can play it on this slate. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, and if you're playing on FanDuel, AJ Green's only 8,100. That's ridiculous.
I think you can fade it, though, because it just – we'll talk about it. I think I would fade that spot if you're playing the Thursday slate on FanDuel.
All right, Indy Jacksonville, if we're playing the Thursday to Sunday slate, there's a few sites that offer it here. Love Allen Robinson, Blake Bortles in this game. I like Allen Robinson a lot in this game.
Love T.Y. Hilton, and do not love Andrew Luck because he's still not throwing the ball deep with that shoulder. He threw one or two deep balls, and they weren't all that particularly close.
Oh, man, that beer is awful. Yeah, I don't hate it. I want some exposure to the passing games in this game. It's a London game. They're going to want to put on a show. There should be a lot of scoring and passing in this game.
Yeah, just check the field conditions. You know, sometimes in the past they've had trouble with it. So you'll know. If there's field troubles, then maybe you kind of want to stay away from it as much. But that's really about the only reason that I would get off this game.
All right, let's start with this Sunday main slate. We have 12 games on the main slate. DraftKings, FanDuel, and rosters have all taken off that Monday night game. We're going to talk about the Monday night game when we get done here, but we're going to start with the main slate. We got Seattle heading to New York to take on the Jets. Russell Wilson, I don't even care if they say he's going to play. I know he's banged up. I want zero to do with here. I know he practiced in full on Wednesday. I'm not doing Russell Wilson here.
Nah, if I was going to try to get exposure to the Seattle passing game, I would just much rather play Doug Baldwin, who I kind of think is sneaky at 7,400 here against the Jets. Jets secondary has been bad. Front seven's been good. They're kind of turning into a little bit of a funnel defense.
Yeah, and we've seen Revis. Like, does he scare you at all? I know he held Macklin to 35 yards. Does he worry you here? Do you think he's starting to get healthy?
No, I'm not worried one bit about Revis. That was just kind of a situation in which the Chiefs just had that game locked up, and they just ran the ball, and Jets really just kind of no-showed that game.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, they definitely agree with you on Pro Football Focus. Darrelle Revis is still one of the worst-ranked quarters.
It's always good to have such respected people agree with my opinions.
Michael, I know he's going to be, you know, a workhorse here. It's a tougher matchup against the Jets. Do you have any interest here?
None. I'm not targeting running backs against the Jets. Especially a West to East Coast early start type game. No way.
Anybody that you like here for the Jets?
They're all kind of banged up, and you really don't want to target them with outside wide receivers anyways. Carlos Hyde did some work in garbage time, but Forte's questionable. I'm not sure if they get behind, if they'll do that, or if he's really going to get the work. His workload was kind of cut a little bit last week, finally. We saw a lot more Powell even before the game got out of hand. So for me, it would kind of just be a Quincy and Numa try to attack the slot. We know they're really bad out of the slot, but that's really about it. Eric Decker?
What about the defense? I like the Jets defense this week. You already mentioned Seattle's coming, you know, cross country. It's a 1 o'clock game. They're banged up, and they have no offensive line. Like, I'm going to continue to play defenses against Seattle.
I think my most likely exposure here is Doug Baldwin. I really like this spot for tournaments. He's been getting a lot of targets. And the Jets secondary is just not good. I think I would just rather play Doug Baldwin than play the Jets.
All right, Siege, I know you're playing quarterback for the Patriots this week. You're at home against Buffalo. They've called you off the streets. That's kind of what we're expecting, right?
I mean, minimum salary, I can turn around and hand the ball to Blunt a bunch of times. I can do that.
All right, let's talk this New England passing game. One of them is going to start from what we're hearing from Belichick. At this point, it's Thursday. We don't know.
Yeah, there's – I don't think we're going to find out until Sunday morning.
If we find out until Sunday morning when the game starts.
Yeah, I think it'll leak Sunday morning.
Well, either way, we're not playing either one of these quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Like, Jimmy G is 7,600. Like, he's too expensive.
No, I was actually thinking, could I play Jacoby Brissett? But I can't do it.
I like Edelman. I think Edelman's a good play here. And, like, why aren't we playing Blunt? Like, he was super underowned when he was cheap. Now he's more expensive. He's still gotten 22 touches per game. Who cares if he's not involved in the passing game? Like, he's the goal line back, and he's getting first down work.
I'm not paying $75,400 for him on FanDuel.
See, that's my point.
That's not going to do it.
Touchdown upside here?
Sure, but so do a bunch of guys that I think are going to be low owned and less. I would just much rather. I mean, I don't want to spoil it. So, like, but there's just guys cheaper that I have more interest in.
5 rushing touchdowns allowed in the last 2 games for Buffalo. Matt Forte destroyed them. David Johnson destroyed them.
I'm not saying that. Yeah, but David Johnson kind of destroyed them a little bit more through the air, right?
Well, he still had 2 rushing touchdowns against them.
Yeah, but I just
David Johnson's just so good.
I think Blunt is. I can't pay the price. I just can't pay that price. I in a week that has so much running back value, and if I'm paying up, I'm paying up for a guy that's just going to be a monster, have a chance of like a 30-point game, and Blunt just doesn't have that.
Not to tilt you anymore, but
tell me.
Sharks getting hit up a little bit here in this inning. Oh, anyway.
If you hear that, that's me throwing my ball against the wall in just pure disgust and anger.
All right, before the show, we were talking defenses a little bit, just chatting before we were waiting for it to load up. I said the New England defense looks good this week, and you were like, no, I waited for the show. Tell me why you don't like the Pats defense.
I'm still waiting for the letdown Patriots game. This team is not going to go 16-0, right? This team is definitely better than I thought they were, but there's going to be a game where they just kind of no-show. And the Bills kind of have a dynamic offense in which they can kind of use Tyrod Taylor out of the pocket. Patriots have kind of faced pocket passers to this point. Carson Palmer, Ryan Tannehill was the most thing to a mobile quarterback they had. He actually had some success against this defense. So I just worry about the ownership level of the Patriots defense for tournaments, and I just worry about kind of a game where the Patriots win like 21-14, kind of ugly, kind of just don't do much. I think the pace of the game is going to be pretty slow. I just don't have any interest in the Pats D, to be honest.
Well, you're a Patriots fan, so you, as much as anybody else, know Belichick is going to sell out on somebody. He's going to take the best player out. You don't think it's going to be McCoy and he's going to make them beat them through the passing game with Watkins either not in the lineup or even limited because there's no way he's 100% before Sunday.
Yeah, I just don't – I mean, this line has been kind of like fluxing around. Like even if – anything under a touchdown, I'm not playing the Patriots defense. I'm just not. I think the Bills offense performs well enough and the pace of the game is going to be so slow. It's like – okay, let's say you're right, and New England holds the Bills to like 10 points. How many sacks are they really going to get versus Tyrod Taylor?
I would say their upside's probably 4. Realistically, you're probably looking at 2, maybe 3.
Right, and if the game is just being played so slow, it just kills your big play upside. Like, do they have a high floor? Probably, but it's like. I just don't feel like that they're going to win me a tournament. And if they're going to be popular, which I kind of get in the sense that they're going to be, I think I would just rather take some chances somewhere else.
I can definitely get behind that. Bill's side, is there anything that you want here?
Tyrod Taylor.
By himself, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see anybody you could pair him with. Watkins.
I mean, you could pair him with Marquise Goodwin on FanDuel, but that's not something I would recommend.
Let's move on. Oakland at Baltimore. This game feels really sneaky. Like, doesn't it? This game feels really, really sneaky.
Hey, did the Raiders fly back to Oakland this week?
I don't know.
I've been trying to – I meant to look this up before the show. Shoot. It's not something I can just easily look up either. I have to look. Looks like they're at their practice facility in Oakland. So I think that's really a weird decision. They were in Tennessee. They flew back to Oakland just to fly back to Baltimore. I think that's really kind of a questionable coaching decision, to be honest. And I don't know that for sure. I just that looks like the Oakland practice facility in these pictures I'm looking at. I don't know. What's your take here? Like, I just worry about the Raiders all these miles the Raiders have been on. Like, they played in New Orleans, they flew back, and then they flew to Tennessee, they flew back, and now they have to fly to Baltimore. Like, isn't this travel just going to get to them?
No, they're professional athletes, and they should be able to handle it. I don't care what anybody says.
But that's not true, though. We just know that doesn't happen. They should be able to, but they don't.
Yeah, but I have a tough time not getting Crabtree exposure this week. I like him a lot in this matchup. Like, he's going to have a good matchup. Baltimore just hasn't been able to show anything defensively this season. Like, I really just – I know the travel's in the back of the mind, but, like, I'm still going to play the matchups.
Yeah, no, I understand for sure. I just – like, I think this spot is sneaky. I'm not disagreeing with your assessment. That's kind of my first assessment of the situation as well. I just worry that this the travel's just going to get to him.
All right, well, let's talk about the Baltimore side then. Like, Baltimore in a great matchup against Oakland. Oh, they didn't give up a touchdown. If anybody watched that game, it was DeMarco Murray's game. I was really high on Mariota until Sunday morning. I even tweeted out, like, get off of Mariota, get on to Murray. Like, I fixed my mistakes. I hope everybody listened. And, like, this is a team you can throw on. And I think Flacco and this offense is a little interesting here.
Yeah, I'm really glad I finally – it took me until Sunday, but I'm glad I got you off the Mariota train. That was just a disaster waiting to happen. But, yeah, I just think this is a spot where you can definitely attack them through the air. It just really comes down to, like, which guy do you really want to play? And that's, like, the question. I think there's a couple of options, and I think this total also is way too low.
What's I haven't looked at the total.
40 and a half.
That's definitely interesting. Like, my interest here is Steve Smith. Like, I know it sounds
I'm sorry. Crazy. I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong line. 46 okay. and a half. Sorry.
I was going to say, 40 sounds way too low.
Sorry. I was looking at the line above it. 46 and a half. Yeah, that's a little better.
Am I crazy for liking Steve Smith this week? Like, we've seen his targets. They've been there. Worst game was against Cleveland where he only had six. But he has a great matchup in the slot this week against Hayden. We've picked on Hayden for 2 years now. Like, am I crazy here?
No, but there's just so many wide receivers I like more than Steve Smith. I just can't imagine clicking his name.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up real quick. Man, like, rosters, I will give them one thing. Like, they have a really strong cap. Like, if you're wanting, like, to challenge yourself on, like, an expert mode lineup, like, go over to rosters because they do such a good job. Like, they have him priced almost at 10K.
Yeah, the roster's pricing is insanely sharp. I like it. It's a different change of pace, that's for sure.
It's nice, right? Like, it's nice that we can get all these values on FanDuel and DraftKings and then spend some time on a site that's a smaller site where you know you're going to get some action, but you're not going to be playing, like, you know, all the big names. And, you know, you get a little bit of exposure to these guys that you might not have elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pulling up DraftKings real quick. I want to see what Steve Smith's price over there is. 45? I like that, man. I can't lie. I like that price.
Yeah, the problem is Pryor's 200 less.
Well, you can play both of them. Why can't you play both of them and pay up a running back?
Man, that's an uber contrarian take.
It is. We'll talk about Pryor in a minute. Anybody else you like from this Oakland-Baltimore game?
I kind of like Amari Cooper. I kind of think it's an interesting spot for him. Like, he's been kind of running bad in terms of getting to the end zone. I know that he doesn't have the strongest matchup here going up against Jimmy Smith, but it's not like Jimmy Smith's anything, you know, to write home about. He's perfectly fine, and I think Cooper is in an interesting spot.
Like, the thing about Cooper at this point, he's just matchup-proof, right?
Yeah, he just hasn't gotten it yet. Like, if he had scored a couple more touchdowns, I feel like people would be all over him in this spot. And they're just not going to be just because of the touchdowns that he hasn't gotten. So, for me, yeah, I definitely like me some Cooper this week.
Yeah, let's not overlook the fact that he has 29 targets in three games. Like, let's not overlook that, please. Well,
everybody else can overlook that. I'm just not going to overlook it.
Last guy, Dennis Pita. I think he's a fine cash game option. I just don't think he has tournament upside.
Not on this slate. It's just a really deep tight end slate.
Yeah, I agree. Cleveland at Washington, one of my favorite games of the weekend. Love this game. I love both sides of this game, and I think I might be the only person that loves the Cleveland side of this game.
There's two guys on Cleveland I like, and I hope that you're on both of them if you like Cleveland, because I think that there's only two guys from the Cleveland offense you should roster, and you should be rostering them in solid numbers.
Well, I'm guessing you're talking about the wide receiver Terrell Pryor.
Yes.
And the running back slash quarterback Terrell Pryor.
Oh, no. I actually have interest in another guy that's not named Terrell Pryor.
But, I'm going to guess Barnage.
No. Actually, it's not Barnage. But all right, let's talk about how awesome Terrell Pryor is. Just for like another minute or two, because he is just – people are way overthinking this. Just play him. The guy is averaging 31 – or he's at 31 targets. He's averaging 10 targets a week, and he's going to play quarterback, and they're giving him the red zone wildcat kind of packages. Why on earth would you not play that for 4,300?
No, don't play him. Don't listen to Siege. Don't – I'm just kidding, guys. Play this guy in cash. 43.
People are talking about fanning him in cash. This boggles my mind. It's like this guy is like the highest usage rate of like any wide receiver on the slate. And he's 4,300. And the Washington defense is terrible. Like, what else do you people want?
Yeah, it's not like he has a tough matchup either. Oh, well, he might see Josh Norman. Josh Norman's not going to shadow
Josh Terrell Pryor. Norman is not. If the Redskins defense is at the point where they think they have to use Josh Norman as a shadow on Terrell Pryor, boy, do they have major problems.
They're going to get him involved. That's the thing.
And it's not like he's 6K. He's 4,300.
On DraftKings.
Yeah. FanDuel 7K, a little more fadeable. I get that.
Yeah, you can make an argument over there. All right, so we're talking rosters. And hold on, I got to scroll down. He's 9,800 over here. That's playable as well. He's down by Mike Wallace, Steve Smith, Michael Crabtree type, you know, players.
Yeah, Sanu. Actually, the guy right below him, I think I'm building a rosters team as we do this show, and I just clicked on him and the guy below him. That's going to be my wide receiver foundation.
He's a good matchup, too. Washington side of this game, I love Kirk Cousins. I've heard a lot of talk about Kirk Cousins being a cash game quarterback, and I thought he wasn't going to be chalk. I really didn't think he would be chalk. And I'm hearing more and more, and I'm like, is he really chalk?
I think he's chalk now. I don't know if he will be chalk come Sunday, because I think the value will clear up, and I think people are just going to have the salary to pay up at quarterbacks. I don't think he's going to end up being chalk. I think this is a situation where he's kind of Wednesday, Thursday chalk, and I think as the week goes along, his ownership is just going to drop. So that's kind of how I'm approaching it. You know, I think that he's certainly a viable option. He's probably a top 10 option on the slate. I actually only have 9 quarterbacks ranked, so I can just go ahead and maybe add him as a 10th.
Yeah, I like Cousins in this spot. We've seen Flacco and Ryan Tannehill destroy the Cleveland secondary for 300-plus passing yards. Like, Cousins been getting a lot of crap in the media. Like, this is a spot where at the end of the day he could throw his middle finger up at the media and, you know, give us one of those "did you see that" moments.
Yeah, and you know, the guy that I think is really going to be underowned in terms of this, it's really tough to stack Cousins with guys, because you know you got Jamison Crowder 25 targets, DeSean Jackson 24 targets, Jordan Reed 24 targets. Even Pierre Garçon's got 20. And it just comes down to, you know, like it's going to be tough to stack them. But I think Jordan Reed's red zone usage is going to go up. I just think his ownership compared to everybody else is going to be too low. Tight end is deep. But I think I'm going to just take a stand on Jordan Reed once again this week. I think he gets in the end zone once, maybe twice.
I could definitely see that. I like Reed. I have him ranked second behind Olsen this week. I think Olsen's the play. But I think Reed's the best pivot. There's another guy that we'll talk about that I think is an excellent play as well. I do like Crowder. He has a really good matchup in the slot. And this little dude has 7 red zone targets this year.
That's so unsustainable, though. Like, I just don't believe that's sustainable.
I get it. But even if it averages out where he gets 1 a game, like, he's still super cheap.
Yeah, I just think this is – I think just like you're going to see Reed's red zone usage go up, and I think it's going to come directly from Crowder.
I do too, but at 4,200, if you're wanting to pivot or pair Pryor to be contrarian and get the Antonio Browns or
– I think Crowder is going to be way higher owned than people think, and I think Terrell Pryor is going to be way lower owned than people think.
I hope so. It'd be a good
I think this is a situation where everyone is kind of like, oh, Terrell Pryor is going to be chalk, so I'm just going to go ahead and fade him. We've seen this show with Marvin Jones before.
Oh, I'm laughing because all you guys that didn't play Marvin Jones in cash.
thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, Tennessee at Houston. Interesting game here. Like, there's no running back getting more usage than Lamar Miller. Do we like him in this spot?
I love the passing attack here. Like, this is the game with the 40.5 total that it's too low. It's too low.
Yeah, Hopkins, Fuller definitely in play here. Like, if you have the money to spend up, like, Hopkins is a play. If you want the value, if you're going with different, you know, value guys, Fuller's a guy to look at for value. He's coming off of a bad game. It's a good get-right spot for him.
I'm going to have tons of Fuller. Like, I promised it last week. It's coming back. Like, it didn't work out last week. I'm coming right back with it. This is a great matchup for him. You know, I think everyone's going to say never again in the Houston passing attack. They all saw it in prime time, looked disastrous. They've had 10 days to fix it. And Tennessee is just a team that you can just expose through the air. This is a great get-right spot for Houston.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, you have to look at Miller in this game, too. Like, his usage is just too high to avoid and to fade.
I completely agree with that assessment.
Like, he, as far as average fantasy points go, he's up there, and he's yet to score a touchdown yet this year.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So, like, get some positive regression here. It's going to happen. What about Osweiler? Like, am I crazy for thinking he's an option in tournaments?
No, you're not crazy.
Like, I like the idea of pairing him with a Hopkins or a Fuller, you know, if you're playing these guys a bunch.
Completely agree.
The other side, though, Tennessee. Tennessee's a hot mess. Like, I want to pick on them with the defense. I worry a little bit about Houston with J.J. Watt being out now. Delanie Walker's banged up. Sharp's banged up. Where do we go? What do we do?
Love here? The Texans defense this week. I think it's one of the better defenses here. Every defense against Tennessee's had success, and some of those defenses haven't been good. Houston defense is good. Like, this reminds me of kind of Tampa, Arizona from week two. Like, this is just the Arizona. This is just the Houston get right spot. They're kind of like Green Bay week three. They're going to look right today. This is going to be a good spot to attack in tournaments.
Yeah, Walker still did not practice Wednesday, dealing with that hamstring injury. Sharp, he's dealing with a hamstring injury. He was limited. Like, so even if both these guys play, they're going to be limited. I like DeMarco Murray. I just don't think this is the spot to use him. And I think that the more I think about it, the more the defense becomes interesting.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite plays on the entire board.
Detroit at Chicago. Oh, boy, do I like this football game. That's all I'm going to say.
Matt Stafford, Marvin Jones, Jordan Howard. Can we move on?
Dude, you left out Theo Reddick. I'm taking your Theo Reddick card.
I mean, I do like Theo Reddick. I should have mentioned him. I think this Dwayne Washington talk is one of the funniest things I've heard in a while.
Somebody,
like, this is just awful. And I don't know who's starting these. Like, Dwayne Washington's a thing. Like, Dwayne Washington is always going to be the change of back pace. Like, they're not going to just sit Riddick down. Like, I don't know, like, where this idea came from. Like, yeah, against Green Bay, they were going to try to attack the middle because Green Bay is really bad at it. Like, but that's not how you attack the Bears. Like, you beat them side to side. And then you kind of run up the middle for a change of pace. You don't just go try to bludgeon them up the middle. I mean, you know, you kind of even saw it with Dallas. Like, they ran the ball a ton, but it was a lot of stuff to the right, to the left. There were very few runs right up the middle. So for me, it's just like runner in this game. I think Dwayne Washington is like one of the worst plays on the slate that I've heard that I think people are going to consider.
Yeah, I don't like him. Look at the snap counts for last week. Look at week one with their starting running back healthy, Abdullah. Like, Reddick was still the guy that they used to make plays happen. Like, the thing that I love about Detroit is this Jim Bob Cooter offense is just – it's so good. Like, we can criticize it all we want, but, like, they're proving that this offense works. And this offense works because they just pass the ball. Like, Stafford 39-plus in three straight games as far as attempts go, and, like, he hasn't looked bad at all.
You want to guess the running back leaders in red zone targets this year?
I would say Reddick is probably one.
He is in the top three. He's actually third at number with four red zone targets through three games.
Is one of the Atlanta guys number one?
No, they're actually three apiece. You actually won't believe this. So it's DeMarco Murray, who I think you could have gotten. The other guy is going to blow your mind. Bilal Powell has five.
Move on. Marvin Jones, I hear a lot of people talking about can he bust, can he bust, can he bust. Like, I just want to say no. we seen it last week. He had only eight targets last week, and he put up 205 yards and two touchdowns.
Okay, here's my plan going forward, and it's kind of a nice flow chart. Is Marvin Jones playing? If the answer is yes, you roster him. If the answer is no, you cry, wishing you could roster him.
We talked about it all season, coming up to the season, like what's going to happen, who's going to replace Calvin Jones. And I hate to say it, but Marvin Jones is the guy that looks really good.
Like, you even just said Calvin Jones instead of Calvin Johnson because you were already thinking about how awesome Marvin Jones is at replacing Calvin Johnson. Like, that's where we're at.
I realized that. I think Stafford's a good tournament player today, too.
Love Matt Stafford this week. The second of only three outdoor games that the Bears will play the entire season.
And this one's not really they're playing because, like, the Bears defense doesn't know how to play defense.
Yes. Like, this is just – if you have Matt Stafford in your season long, you're going to have a monster season.
Yes. Yes, you are. Just to pound home even more, like, Chicago, yes. Looking at the other side – Jordan Howard proved one thing to us last week when Langford went down. He can catch the ball in the backfield. That means game script-wise, he's going to be in there.
Yeah, I'm really surprised the number of people that think the Bears are going to win this game. Like,
let's be real for a second.
I don't think that's happening. Like, I know this is kind of in the Vegas zone, 3.5, but boy, do I not see this game getting close. Like, sorry. I think this is kind of a route.
But that doesn't hurt Jordan Howard in this game.
No. I think it helps his game flow. I think it's pretty good for his game flow, actually, on PPR sites. I think he's a great play on every site. I love Jordan Howard this week. Except rosters, because rosters has this ridiculously tight cap, and I don't even know if I can play him on rosters.
He's pricey over there.
He's pricey, man. He's, like, really, really pricey.
I love the fact that I'm going to be able to build so many hedge teams with rosters.
Yeah, it's kind of like just like every guy that you kind of like the chalk on the main site, you can just come over here and kind of just fade. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, they did a good job. The passing game for Chicago, I think a lot of people are going to look at Alshon Jeffrey, which he looked awful. He didn't even look like he could run at full speed in that game. And a lot of people are going to look at Kevin White, and he has an awful matchup this week.
And he's just not good. Can we just start there? He's also not good.
Zach Miller, like – I know there's so many tight ends this week, but Zach Miller is one of the best tournament tight ends this week.
The buzz on Zach Miller is just going to rise. If you are listening to this podcast and Thursday night has not started, go over to FanDuel, lock up some teams. Go over to Fantasy Aces, lock up some teams. Go over to rosters, lock up some teams. Get Zach Miller now where you are locked into Zach Miller because the hype over the weekend, he's going to get 2 points where you're going to say, do I need to fade Zach Miller because he's going to be too popular? We are going to be there by Sunday morning, and we're not there now.
I don't disagree, man. I really don't.
The hype meter on Zach Miller is just going – I can already start seeing, like, the tremblings of it, and it's just – I'm going to – I might have 100% of my Zach Miller exposure on Thursday lock sites.
Like, am I crazy for thinking Zach Miller is a cash play at 5K on FanDuel?
No.
Like, I know we talked about Olsen, and I know we talked about Reed, but I see Miller getting red zone targets here. I see him being the reason they move the ball.
It's just tough because I think you're going to play Jordan Howard in cash. So I don't know if I'm going to have two Bears in cash. But if I'm not playing Jordan Howard for some scenario, I could totally understand playing him.
Them being only 10-6 combined, I don't know if I hate it. Like, if we're expecting Detroit
to get – there's just so much value on this week. Yeah. Like, I don't think we have to do it. Like, if it were a tight value week, that's one thing. But, man, the value is just everywhere.
The value is amazing. The value is amazing, which helps you with this next game. Carolina at Atlanta. CJ, I texted you this morning, and I said one thing. I said Cam Newton. That's all it said. I text everybody that I talked to about football. I said Cam Newton. That's all the text needed to say. I'm going to have Cam Newton on every single cash team, and I'm probably going to have a lot of exposure to him in tournaments as well.
I'm going to be overweight on this game. I'm going to be overweight in this game. This is a game that if you read my preseason articles or my preseason content or had a lesson with me, you know that I've had this game circled on my calendar from before the game season started. You know, I've heard rumblings this week. The Carolina defense is good. The Carolina defense is good. They have faced three of the worst passing attacks in the league. We don't know what the Carolina defense is. And, oh, by the way, they didn't exactly shut any of the three teams down. They faced Denver, San Fran, and Minnesota. And they didn't exactly, like, lock these teams down. Now they get the Atlanta offense in a dome. I'm going to have Matt Ryan, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman. I'm just going to load up every which way on the Falcons and Carolina game. This is probably my highest owner of the game of the week. I don't even care about Saints San Diego. Like, this is the spot that's going to blow up this weekend. This is it.
It has all the potential to be a high-scoring game. It's in Atlanta, in a dome. Like, this game has so much potential. And, like, we talk about the Carolina defense all the time, and it's a hot topic. They're averaging 2 sacks per game this year. They're not getting the pressure. Ryan struggles when he gets pressured, and if you can't pressure him, he has weapons around him. We've seen it now. Like, Matt Ryan. Yeah. Like, there's no reason not to look at Ryan here as a great pivot off of Newton. Ryan has 3 games over 19 Vandal points. You know, like, why are we not talking about him more?
Like, I'm actually more concerned about the Carolina offense than I necessarily am the Atlanta offense.
No, we're not. Atlanta's defense.
Here's the case. Here's the case for why I'm concerned about Carolina. There's no running attack in that game at all outside of Cam Newton. Outside of Cam, he's not going to run for 150 yards.
Listen, it wouldn't shock me.
I mean, he's going to have to because Greg Olsen doesn't have a great matchup. And then you kind of look at – you're going to put Desmond Trufant on Kelvin Benjamin. Like,
wait, did you just say Olsen doesn't have a good matchup?
Atlanta has had really good success against Greg Olsen in his career. The matchup – the way Arizona plays him – I'm sorry, Arizona. Atlanta plays him is – like, I'm going to have tons of Greg Olsen. Like, don't get me wrong. This isn't like saying a fade. But this is the argument against the Carolina offense, is that Atlanta's had very good success scheming against Greg Olsen in the past. That's the case.
They've allowed 4 passing touchdowns to tight ends this year. They allowed 64 yards and 2 touchdowns to Tampa's tight ends, 74 yards and a touchdown to Oakland's tight ends.
That's not exactly a ton of yards, by the way.
But look, Tampa and Oakland, that's not Greg Olsen, Cam Newton. Like, at least Colby Fleener just destroyed them too. Like, we've seen what a good tight end could do against them.
Look, I'm not saying that he's a fake. I'm just saying this is the case against the Carolina offense is that they have a locked up corner on Benjamin. They're trying to play him one on one, focus attention on Olsen, and try to make Ted Ginn Jr., Devin Funchess, and whatever beat them. I think it's a viable strategy and it could work because they don't have to worry about the run game. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I just think that I see a world in which they just basically said, go ahead, try to beat us by throwing it to your outside receivers, and I don't have confidence in that. But that being said, I don't know if that's good. Like, that's one potential outcome. I just think this game shoots out. I'm going to have tons of exposure, but it wouldn't surprise me if this is a 27-10 type or 35-10 type Atlanta win, and we just say what happened to the Carolina offense. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I would be. As you can tell by what I'm saying. Like, I think that in cash games, I think you play Cam Newton by himself. I think that's the way to play him here. Like, I really think that 20 plus fantasy points is coming your way. We can't agree on everything, CJ. We agree on a lot. We have a lot of mindset.
Like, I like this game a lot. I just don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger in cash.
That's fair enough. All right, let's move on. We spent a lot of time on that game. We have Denver at Tampa Bay. Anything that you like from the Denver side here?
Yeah, I kind of like the Trevor Siemian, Emmanuel Sanders stack. Can kind of see it. We kind of saw what Kenny Britt just did to this team. We kind of saw the Tampa defense isn't quite as good as we thought. This is kind of 2 weeks in a row now. They've kind of gotten torched. We saw Trevor Siemian's upside last game. Thomas just isn't much of a huge factor in this offense. He'll be fine. He's certainly the number 2 behind Sanders at this point.
I don't think Sanders is just going to be owned at the level he should be in this spot. So I think Sanders is the guy I have the most interest in here.
And you're going to get Sanders at a value to Thomas everywhere still. Like, every site still has Thomas as the higher price guy.
Yeah, and I think kind of people are just assuming that Trevor Siemian game was an outlier. And I'm not quite sure that – I mean, yes, it was an outlier, but I don't know how much of an outlier it exactly was.
Yeah, and I think Tampa's going to put up points here on Denver. I really do.
Yeah, I really do as well. And if you look at red zone targets, four wide receivers, Emmanuel Sanders tied for second in the league with 7 red zone targets so far in the season.
I'm guessing you've already looked. How many targets do you think Evans has on the season?
A gazillion. I mean, he had 17 in a game, for goodness sake.
He has 37 targets in 3 games.
Yeah, that's what we call good.
And he has a good matchup. Like, I don't know if it's teasing or not, but I love Mike Evans in this matchup. I wrote him up as my endorsement last week, and like I'm thinking about just playing him a lot again this week.
And he's not going to be owned against Denver. Like,
he hasn't been owned all season. Nobody likes Mike Evans.
Yeah, I mean, he crushed last week. I mean, you, me, and Britt were Team Evans last week, and it worked out just fine. He had like 32 DK points. I think people are going to get off the wagon here, and I don't think this is the spot to get off. Matter of fact, I think it's kind of the spot to get on.
Yes, please give me Evans against Robley. Like, please, please, please do that. Winston could be an interesting tournament play. The only way I'm playing Winston, though, is if I'm pairing him with Evans. Like, he's just so cheap on FanDuel. 7,100 for that upside. I really like that price tag.
Give me Sam Bradford, and I know that's a hot take and a tease for later in the show.
All right. Just saying, Winston has 26 fantasy points in 2 or 3 this year. New Orleans at San Diego, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. Most talked about game this week going up to the game, obviously. We'll start with the New Orleans side. There's one guy that I love, and I think you probably already know who it is.
Mark Ingram?
No.
Kobe Fleener?
Yes. I have been the only true Kobe Fleener guy for 3 straight weeks now.
Hey, time out. I was all in on Fleener last week. Hey.
Week 2, CJ?
I wasn't in on week 2. I was off the Saints, and he didn't do anything week 2.
You're not allowed to know. You have to be a believer.
I jumped on when everybody jumped off. When everybody finally gave up hope, that's when I hopped on. That's what you do in this game. You don't play on the bad weeks, and you play on the good weeks.
Let's talk about Kobe Fleener's matchup for a second. Like, we don't know if Snead's going to play. It's still up in the air. If he's in or if he's out, I expect him to be limited even if he does play. Cooks is going to see Verrett. And all this is telling me is Kobe Fleener.
I really hope Snead is out, because I don't think anybody noticed how good Brandon Coleman played. He played really, really good. Got 8 targets in that game against Atlanta, 7 catches for 78. And the one he dropped, I mean, he felt really bad about it, but Breeze went right back to him 2 plays later. Like, I really think that Brandon Coleman would be the sneaky play in this game if Snead's out. Like, I'm rooting for Snead to be out. 4,600, he'd be under 10% owned, and he's a guy that probably should be 20 to 25% owned in the case of Snead being out.
And if you want to make an argument even more for Coleman, he played 70 of 81 snaps for the Saints last week.
Yeah, he was on the field all the time, all the time. And he was running all sorts of different routes, made catches on all sorts of different routes. He just was a really, really good spot. I loved him on the 2-game slate last week, but I love him on this slate. Like, everybody will play Michael Thomas at 5,300, and he certainly would be a great play. I'm not saying that, but Brandon Coleman at a fraction of the ownership would be just as worthy of a play.
Just play Kobe Fleener. No, I like Coleman. If Snead's out, like, we don't know. It's Thursday. And then on the other side, we don't know if Antonio Gates is going to play in this game either. And if Antonio Gates doesn't play, Hunter Henry?
Yeah, Hunter Henry. He looks real good. I was surprised. I thought he'd be kind of slowed in that offense, and I couldn't have been more wrong. He looked really good. Caught all 5 of his targets, but and he had that bad fumble at the end of the game, but you know, that's kind of a learning experience for the rookie. But I don't think that's going to hurt him long term. He's the stone minimum on FanDuel.
Yeah, you were a college football guy. You know all about this guy.
Yeah, he played for Arkansas. He was a good receiver in college, even though they never threw the football there.
Melvin Gordon, a guy that I think you can play in cash this week. I think he's super safe. We said he was somewhat safe, and he saved it with a touchdown last week. He did not have a good game.
Yeah, and this just, like,
it's the Saints. That's what I keep going back to. Like,
I'm really worried. We got lucky last week. I don't know if I really want to go down this train one more time.
But the thing is, like, San Diego has a good offensive line, and the Saints have a really bad defense. Like, their defense is...
I understand that, Stevie. You're using facts. I understand the facts, and that's why he's going to be chalk. I just feel like I'm playing with fire, trusting Melvin Gordon every week. I feel like I'm playing hot potato, and I'm going to get stuck with the hot potato one of these weeks.
Well, if you don't like him, you can always play Benjamin or Williams.
I love Williams this week. I really love Phillip Rivers and Williams this week. I think it's a really good spot. He's 6,400 on FanDuel. He's just becoming a bigger and bigger role here. Targets have gone up every week. Production has gone up every week. He got tackled with the half-inch line. Otherwise, that line looks a lot better. I really like Tyrell Williams as kind of the guy I would be really focusing in on here in the passing attack.
One other thing about Williams is he out-snapped Benjamin last week.
Yeah, they want him to be the guy. So, I think that they're going to give him every chance to be the guy, and I don't think he's done anything so far to not get that chance.
And he should benefit, too, if Gates is out. So, Gates didn't practice. He's dealing with that injury, the hamstring. So.
I don't think Gates plays, by the way.
Yeah, I don't either. What's our thoughts here on Rivers? Is he pretty safe in this matchup?
Yeah, I think he's pretty safe. I think he's certainly fine. He was my pick to go over 300 yards last week. Got the job done for me. Didn't throw for a touchdown last week. That's kind of just a fluke thing. I think you'll see him get back in the end zone at least once this game.
All right, LA at Arizona. This game's interesting. Not a lot of love for Carson Palmer in this game, and I think it might be a mistake.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people on Twitter going, why is Carson Palmer a thing? And I was literally sitting here like, this feels like week two all over again. You know, bad team going to Arizona after a disappointing performance, and then Arizona's going to show that all is fine in the world. Like, I guess, is there an alternative universe where Carson Palmer is done? Sure, but I really don't think we're there. Like, playing bad at a 1 p.m. start with the Bills, like, that's why reverse line movement happens. These things happen. Like, I'm not going to write him off because he had one bad 1 o'clock game in Buffalo.
Yeah, and if we look at the Rams' pass defense, like, they've played Seattle, 170 and a touchdown, not great. They played San Francisco, then they played Seattle, 254, no touchdowns. But then they just played Tampa Bay. And if you watch that game, 405 yards and 3 touchdowns, they kind of got exposed in that game.
Yeah, it's not like Arizona doesn't have any weapons they can exploit them with. Like, I just think it's a really good spot to just play Palmer and Fitz.
I think you could play David Johnson, too. I think you could play David Johnson every week.
Yeah, I'm just not paying up for running back this week. I think this is where I think you're more willing to pay up for running back. I'm just going to go ahead and attack the mid-tier range. There's just so many top-end receivers I want to play, and I'm just going to kind of rotate them through, I think.
Yeah, I like the idea of being contrarian and paying up at both running back spots this week.
There's so many wide receivers I want to play. I just want to play all these up. I just want to play them all.
Well, you can still do that on DraftKings and rosters. Get that full point PPR to these cheap guys, get those high price running backs, more on DraftKings.
Yeah, I think that this you're gonna have, I think you're the salary cap isn't that soft.
DraftKings is pretty soft, not gonna lie. There's still one other wide receiver we're gonna talk about here in a few minutes. The other side of this game, LA, I think Arizona defense is the best defense on the board this week.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that.
Like, even Tavon Austin's banged up right now, too. Like, that for injury, like, this offense runs through Gurley. Arizona's just good.
Yeah, I think the offense – I think the defense has a high floor.
Yeah, I think they're
my cash. If I could make it fit, I would rather play them in cash over the Redskins.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I know they just gave up a lot of rushing yards to Buffalo. I think that game was just kind of fluky. I think you're right. I think Arizona gets back on track in this game.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right, Dallas at San Francisco. I like this game. I really like this game. We talked about Elliott a lot last week. Like, go back to the well. I know that they had 3 opportunities underneath the 10-yard line, and he didn't get a carry. But let's remember what happened. They ran a trick play with Dak where they sent him out to wide receiver. He was out of the third series because obviously they rest him on the third series, which I had no clue about. Did you know about that?
Yeah, they rest him on the third series. They give Morris a series.
And then the last one is he carried the ball all the way down the field and was like gasping for air when they scored the third touchdown.
He had 30 rushes last game.
Yes.
30.
And he goes to San Francisco where they play it up a faster pace. Like, I love Elliott.
I'm paying up for a wide or for a running back. It's Elliott, but he's not my favorite running back in this game.
Well, yeah, I know you're going to like that, but let's stay with Dallas here. We found out today that Dez Bryant hairline fracture in his right knee. There's like, oh well, he's going to play. I don't expect him to play here. Do you?
No chance he's playing. Yeah,
come on. Let's be realistic. Like, Cole Beasley on DraftKings, love him. Absolutely love him. I know we've been talking about a lot of cheap wide receivers, but love Cole Beasley this week. We've seen it now. Like, we're on week 3. He hasn't moved in price. He's still 3,900, and he doesn't have a game under 12 yet. Like, that's 3X right off the bat.
You can have him. I'm staying away from Cole Beasley this week.
Oh, geez. You got to tell me on why, because, like, I see a 3X floor.
I don't think a guy that's catching, like, literally every target that goes his way, like, you call that his floor. Like, he's going to eventually not catch every ball that's thrown his way.
Listen, CJ, this is Wes Welker 2.0. He's going to catch everything.
Wes Welker didn't catch every target either. He dropped the ball. The balls were thrown over his head. It happens. It's called football.
No, when he got hit in the head is the only time he dropped the ball. That was Wes Welker's biggest issue.
I just don't think that you need to go there this week. Like, and I just think that there's, you know, if there's no Dez Bryant, like, Cole Beasley's the guy that I'm worried about. I think if I was going to play a wide receiver here, if there's no Dez, I would play Bryce Butler at the minimum, taking over in the X spot. And he would draw a pretty decent matchup. I have to pull up the chart here. I got to go look for Dez Bryant.
It would be Richard Roberts. It wasn't Robinson. It wouldn't be that great.
It's not terrible.
Like, I have more interest in Terrence Williams at 3,100. He's $100 over the minimum.
Yeah, it's just that Cole Beasley is a really tough matchup, too, against Jimmy Ward.
Give me Cole Beasley in a tough matchup. He's fisty. He's getting that.
I think this is the Mariota play of the week that I'm going to try to talk you off of before Sunday.
I don't know if I'll end up on him with him in cash because I like Crowder and Pryor a lot, and there's so many wide receivers.
Yeah, I just don't even – and if you're not playing him in cash, like, there's no reason to play him in tournaments over those guys either.
All right, confess your love to Carlos Hyde.
I've been ready for this spot since the preseason. If you read my NFL preseason 10 article, I pretty much mapped out how this was going to go. You play Carlos Hyde week 1, and then you fade him the next 2 weeks, and then his price will drop in 2 tough matchups, and then you attack against Dallas. Well, he went off against the Rams, had 2 tough games. He got a bunch of garbage time in that Seattle game to kind of make his stat line look a little better. And now he gets the matchup against Dallas. This is just a great spot. People are talking about how the 49ers played at a slower pace last week. That's not going to stay. That was just them playing at Seattle and just also being down a gazillion points right away. They're going to go back to their high-tempo pace. Carlos Hyde's going to have 20 to 25 touches against this Dallas defense. I love this spot for Carlos Hyde. Love, love, love. I think he's a lock in cash games. I think I'm going to have so much Carlos Hyde exposure. It's probably going to rival my Terrell Pryor ownership from last week in terms of ownership. I just don't know how you don't play him.
I don't either. Me and you are on the agreeance here on DraftKings. Love the price. FanDuel, a little harder on FanDuel. I still think he's in play.
It's only one button, though. You just hit the plus button. You put him in your lineup. It's just as easy as it is on DraftKings. You just hit the button, and away you go.
He's so close to some other guys that I like, though.
I think that Carlos Hyde is – If we are ranking these guys, like, I'm just going to play him. I'm going to play him over Ingram. I'm going to play him over Jeremy Hill. I'm going to play him over Latavius Murray. I'm going to play him over Devonta Freeman. Like, I just am in. I'm in. I'm just in this spot. It's a perfect spot. 49ers at home. You know, we saw what they can do opening week at home. I just think this is just too good of a spot. And if he's going to get the garbage time work too, how does he not get there?
I'm not saying he's not going to get there. I never said that.
He's going to get there if they're winning, and he's going to get there when they're losing. I can't think of a better play on the planet.
I think I like him more on DraftKings.
Price is better, but doesn't mean you can't play him on FanDuel, too. The price is still pretty darn good. He's priced the same as TJ Yeldon, for goodness sake, and Matt Jones.
I like paying up at running back. I think we've learned that throughout the podcast.
Yeah, I just don't know what you're getting. Like, Carlos Hyde, 102 this week. Like, you can go ahead and just write him down for my running back pick for our segment. Just write him down. It's going to happen.
I like it. I like it. Let's move on, though. Outside of Hyde, nothing, right? Like, no.
49ers defense for tournaments.
All right, you're crazy now. Kansas City at
You also said I was crazy week one. How'd that work out?
I'm moving on.
Exact same spot. Exact same spot as week one.
Who'd they play in week one?
The Rams. When everybody's like, oh, Todd Gurley this, Todd Gurley and Rams. Todd Gurley and Rams.
And Todd Gurley and Rams. That's why I like the Arizona defense this week. Kansas City at Pittsburgh. It's the late slate. It's the late game hammer here. Last game on the main slate. Great football game. Like, this is going to be a game where you're going to want exposure. This is going to have some fantasy goodness in it.
Well, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown from one side. What are you doing on the other side?
Well, I think you got to throw Ben in there, too.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. We can throw Ben in there.
The other side's Travis Kelce. And then it's Travis Kelce.
Tight end's so deep.
I know, but that's why I love Kelce in the spot. Nobody's going to play him. He's in such a good spot. A game that you're going to be trailing, throwing the ball a lot. We know he's going to get 7-plus targets. Like,
I think the plus part is where you lose me.
He's going to have right at 7 four straight weeks.
I'm just saying, they're pretty consistent so far. And you've had three different types of game flows where you end up exactly at 7.
He's going to get 8 this week. All right.
I don't know if I could. Like, if I'm paying up, it's just not true for Travis Kelce.
What about Jeremy Maclin in the spot?
Yeah, that's the guy I think I would have more interest in. But that's just, again, just another guy at this wide receiver core that's just absolutely loaded. I question his upside. Like, how many times is he really going to catch 2 touchdowns in this spot? But that's really kind of the only concern I have about him. I definitely think it's a good spot for him in a pretty high total game.
Yeah, I think that's a legit concern. But I like the idea of pairing Maclin and Brown together on some tournament teams.
Yeah, I if Jamaal Charles is out, Spencer Ware, too, is a really good play as well.
Yeah, and we really don't know what's going to happen with Charles at this point.
I think they're going to hold him out until after the bye.
Do they have a bye next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that probably happening then.
And the thing is, we might not know either. Like, that's the thing, because that's the late game. So here's a chance where you could go ahead and take a shot, you know, and maybe a snap and play Spencer Ware at under 1% and what would be a good matchup if you knew for sure.
And you have to think West is going to be out too. Like, he sprained his ankle.
Yeah, and if he's out, then maybe, like, even if Charles is active, he only get, like, maybe they give him a limited workload and you still want to be playing Spencer Ware. Like, I think there's a lot of ways in which Spencer Ware can kind of surprise at this cheaper price tag here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. All right, let's talk Monday Night Football. Not a lot of slates. If you're playing the Thursday night slate, that starts here tonight. The Giants of Minnesota, and I think we're going to be on the same page here.
I'm so mad this game is not on the main slate. Just because this is a spot in which the Vikings go overlooked here every single time. And it's just the best spot. It's like one of my favorite spots on the board. Like probably right behind Carolina, Atlanta. I love this spot for the Vikings. Give me Sam Bradford. Give me Kyle Rudolph. Give me Steph Diggs. The Giants are just going to get exposed every which way in this game. The Vikings are good. The Vikings have been bad for 2 years running the football. Their success has always come when they've spread it out and started throwing the football. They did it. You've seen some success. The Giants' defense is not good against the pass. This is a situation where I would just, you know, just take as many Minnesota guys as I can fit in the lineups. And I'm still going to do it on this main slate, on the Thursday slate, because if you're playing Thursday, you're either playing Thursday or Sunday morning guys. I just don't know how many people are really playing the Thursday slate to get that Monday night game in there.
Yeah, and it's a game that I just don't think a lot of people are going to target. And, like, I love when Eli has to throw the ball a lot. And we know Vereen's on the IR. Jennings is banged up with a thumb injury. Like, at this point, we have no idea who's running for – it could be Bobby Rainey. It could be Bobby Rainey running the ball for the Giants this week.
And this is a dome team. Like, remember, this is a dome team again. Like, it's been a while since this team's been a dome team. So, yes, like, it's a dome team. Like, it's just a really good spot. Like, the reason I was wrong all offseason about the Lions' off road games is because I forgot this was a dome team. And I was doing a ton of research. So, like, I'm sure, you know, the general person has forgotten that the Vikings were a dome team. And this team is built like those old dome teams.
Yeah. Man, I like this game.
I love this game. If this game were the Sunday night game, if the games were reversed and this was the Sunday night game, it would just be so awesome.
Yeah. What we're trying to say is we like the Minnesota side. Looking at the other side here,
Sterling Shepard would be the only guy I would consider.
I'm pulling up the chart. Who has Newman?
I assumed it would be Odell Beckham.
Oh, they're saying he's going to get Waynes?
What?
If that's like they're saying that percentage wise, it's going to be Waynes. Oh man, I like me some Odell Beckham here.
No, wait a minute. That can't be right.
Yeah, they're saying.
I thought Waynes was.
Waynes is on the right side. Beckham lines up on the left side 60%. Waynes 85%. Dude, he might get Waynes here.
He might. But Sterling Shepard gets Captain Merlin. Oh, baby.
All right, that's going to do it here. Before we get started, we talked, I sent out a tweet. If you have any questions for the slate, let us know. The problem is we started talking about the baseball thing, so I got to go through here, and hopefully I don't miss anybody's questions. If I do, I apologize. But
by the way, you don't want to know what Tyler Chatwin ended up at.
We would have won. Going to say is I'm 2-0 against Cheese this year with my stats. And Eric Crane and all you guys who were giving me a crap about Chatwood, just saying.
If we played and we would have won, that would have been amazing. What an amazing comeback that would have been.
Oh.
And we pivoted too. We had to pivot off Samardzija, and we had two options. One was Chatwood, and one was a guy that we didn't like. And for some reason, we chose the guy we didn't like.
All right. The Julio Nation wants to know, how do we feel about Terrell Pryor Jr. this week?
I think I sent him a gift back that said all in.
He did. To fade or not to fade Marvin Jones on FanDuel, feel it's going to have high ownership, but I see him in a favorable matchup. Well, if you see him in a favorable matchup, why does ownership percentage matter?
He's not going to be highly owned either.
Yes. I really do like Marvin Jones again this week. I think he's really safe. Until we see Golden Tate have a monster game, I just think Jones is the guy.
Agreed.
How sharp is playing the Chargers defense this week?
Not very.
If they were good defense and New Orleans had to go there, yeah. But they're not a good defense.
No. I think the Saints offense is a tad overrated in this spot, though. Just a little.
I like this idea. You guys need to start a league at FanDuel and DraftKings. I like that idea. Maybe we'll get a DK league going this week.
Yeah, we should get a listener league going. I was thinking about that when I saw that. I thought that was a good idea.
All right. Well, TJ, if we do it, you guys will know here on Twitter. Maybe I'll announce on the podcast tomorrow. We'll have to talk it out. Hey, you'll be back tomorrow anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I will be back tomorrow.
FanDuel GPP, if you stack quarterback tight ends such as Newton Olsen or Cousins Reed, where do you look at for value, running back or wide receiver? I think it's been really clear throughout this podcast. There's a ton of value at running back, and there's a ton of value at wide receiver.
Yep. I really think this is a Stars and Scrubs week. I really do.
What are some of your favorite GPPs to play over on DraftKings as far as payout structures and just tournaments that you like? I like this question. This is a question that I kind of circled.
Yes, the three-entry cover four I like a lot. I like anything King of the Beach related because they're five-entry max. I think it's awesome. I'm really glad they kind of brought a final with an entry cap in it. That's kind of tough to make. And then I think it's going to show with all the top guys still making it. I think it's going to show that this is really more skill-based than people think when you throw a cap on there. I also really like, there's a tournament, I'm trying to find it, and it's probably because I've regged it already. I can't find it, but there's a 27.3 max that I really like. I can't tell you the size of it because I already regged it, so it's not showing up on my screen.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. So it's a three entry max $27 tournament. Only a 13.4% rake on this tournament. It's only 1,700 people, which is very doable for anybody. It's not going to pay out that big $10,000 payout. It's a $40,000 guaranteed prize pool, but it pays out $3,000 to first, and it pays out 441 spots out of 1,700. That's one of my favorite tournaments I play every week. I like that one, and I like the $150 three-entry max.
Yeah, I think all the three-entry maxes are pretty solid. If you're looking for a sneaky good tournament, the $7, $25,000 hitch and go. It's hitting down here towards the bottom. of their guaranteed prize pool tournaments, and it's kind of a nice, cool, like, mid-tier in terms of, like, upside, but also low cost.
Of course Chat would dominate it. Of course he did. Oh, now I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
I'm so mad. It's my fault. Like, anyone listening to the podcast, like, Stevie can try to take all the fault he wants on Twitter. It's my fault. Like, I was just tilted from being wrong on the early guys, and I should have, like, I just didn't press hard enough for us to pivot to Chatwood. Like, that was the right play, and we didn't do it.
And I'm going through tweets, and I just, all right.
Yeah, that's probably not helping your cause either.
How insane would a Hoyer Howard White Miller stack be? It's 14-8 total.
Yes,
60 points is 4x value.
No, next.
You can't do that, right? Like, no. I actually don't hate like a Hoyer Howard Miller stack, but take out White.
I hate that. Stop it. Why is everyone obsessed with this stupid quarterback, running back, wide receiver stack? It's not sneaky anymore. It was sneaky last year. Stop. Everyone else is doing this awful little stack, and everyone's just trying to go that way. Just go back to your standard quarterback, wide receiver on the other side stack. It's underowned now. It's underowned, and it's the best correlation.
I love that the next question is Brian Hoyer a decent option versus the Lions? We didn't talk about him, to be fair.
I don't know. He's decent the same way that, like, Alex Smith is decent. I don't know. I mean, I'm never rostering him.
Yeah, I don't love him in this spot. I would rather just get my exposure with Howard and Zach Miller.
Agreed.
All right, a 2v2 question here. Hopkins, Howard, or DJ Ty Williams?
I'm definitely voting for the first one, and I think you're going to go the other way.
Actually, I like the first one, too.
This is what happens when you start using those value running backs and you try to pay up. The teams just don't come out as good.
No, I do like Ty Williams and I like DJ. I think Hopkins is going to be underowned, and I like pairing an underowned wide receiver with a high chalk running back.
But that's what you can do anytime you play these cheap running backs. You can just keep rotating all the, you can play Julio Jones underowned. You can play Calvin Benjamin underowned. Just the quality of wide receivers and good matchups you get when you play the cheap running backs is insane. You just don't have to play the chalk ones. Play all the other good ones.
All right. Do you think playing Dwayne Washington in cash is a bit of a stretch with all the other solid running backs?
Well, I already went on my Dwayne Washington rant. If you missed it, you can go back about like 25 minutes and hear it.
Do not play Dwayne Washington in cash. Don't
play him in any format. In any format.
Do you like Sterling Shepard or Will Fuller more?
Will Fuller more. Will Fuller for life. This is a great Will Fuller reduction spot.
All right, last question before we get out of here. On average, how big is your core, and how much exposure do you tend to give to them versus your pivots on your pool?
Well, you should check out the player pool article on RotoGrinders. I do a core article. I talk about my core at every position. So I think that's extremely relevant. So I would go check that out. I've seen the articles on RotoGrinders where they kind of show that some of the top players' exposure charts. I'm way tighter than that. Like, I think that the lineups I've seen are probably about 10 to 15 players too many for me, if that's like trying to get a gauge.
Yeah, I tend to play a lot of quarterbacks. I'm way different than most. I like to play a bunch of quarterbacks, and I really make it a tight running back wide receiver core.
Yeah, I think that you can go a little wider at wide receiver quarterback than I do. If I hit my core, I just want to have all the chances to get to that top spot.
Is Chatwood still pitching? That's all I want to know.
No, he's out. But
throw a complete game shutout. He just threw eight when everybody laughed at me. All right.
It's our own fault. Like, we would have won, too. I'm just so gross.
All right, we play Home Run Derby on the baseball podcast. We flip it over here on the football podcast. We talk about one quarterback that we think is going to get 300 yards, running back that's going to get 300 or 100 yards rushing, and a wide receiver that's going to get 100 yards passing or catching. Receiving, whatever it's called. It's getting late. I'm getting tired. All right, so I'll let you go first here. It's an open board. Do you just want me to plug in Carlos Hyde for you?
Thank you.
All right, well, you said it earlier. I just wanted to make sure.
We're good.
I'm going Matthew Stafford.
I was really hoping he would last. Okay.
I like Cousins, too, if you want my other guy.
No, okay. I don't really want to deal with Cousins.
I went 0-3 and you went 2-3 last week. I have some work to do.
Yeah, you do. This is a good point. I do have a solid lead on you. I'm gonna go contrarian this week. I want to be me. Let's go contrarian. I'm gonna take Will Fuller.
All right, I like it. Laurent, my 100 back. Man, there's so many spots that I like, but I'm gonna go kind of safe. I'm gonna go Lamar Miller picks up 100 yards this week.
Oh man,
I got some work to do. I gotta catch up to you.
Yeah, I'm really trying to decide if I want to play this quarterback because you're gonna. Oh, I don't know. How in front is this team really going to get? Let's play Matt Ryan.
I don't hate that. Why would I hate that?
No, I said, is he, I don't think I – did I say that you're going to hate it? No, I think you – I just don't know if I – I really am worried about Atlanta being playing from in front in this game.
I just can't wait to send the text to Cardi and Dean telling them how lucky they are at this point.
God, we're so bad general managers.
All right, so my wide receiver over 100 yards this week. I'm sticking to my hot take. I like Mike Evans a lot this week. He's my guy that's going over 100 yards.
It's a really, really, really good selection.
All right, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I think fading Thursday I think is super key this week.
All right, you can definitely do that. You can play De Leon over Chatwood and cost yourself a game 7. And you can come back next year and win the championship like the Cleveland Cavaliers did. So that's what we're going to be shooting for next year. I hope you guys enjoyed the football podcast. We'll be back with baseball again tomorrow. If you haven't checked out rosters.com, love their salary cap and construction that you have to do over there. It's a tight cap. It plays more into the guys that do more research. So I like it a lot. So make sure you guys head on over to rosters.com. Use that promo code Grinders. We'll be back tomorrow. Good luck in your contest tonight. We'll see you then.